Pastor.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Appreciate that singing day. We do have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We have a lot to thank the Lord for, and I'll be the first to tell you I don't thank Him near enough for what He has done for me and what He continues to do for me. And so that was wonderful worship this morning. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 if you're not there already. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll say this right away, so that none of you get nervous. I have the scripture reading as 5 through 11. Well, I quickly realized as I started digging into this this week that if we were to cover all that, we wouldn't be out of here till around 2 in the afternoon. Is that what you would like? You want me to keep you here that long? Well, just to put that to rest. We're just going to cover verses 5 through 7 today. These verses do go together, and they're wonderful as we see so many things as you look at 2 Peter 1, verses 1 all the way through 15, what God has done for us, and then what the responsibility that He gives to us to follow Him. And then the blessings that come from that responsibility, from fulfilling that responsibility that He does give to you and to me, of following Him. But since they do go together, I would like to go ahead and read again verses 5 through 11. So would you follow along with me? It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Will you bow with me in a word of prayer? And then we'll look at this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come before you one last time and just admit that I need you very much right now. I always need you, but I need you now. I want to ask that you would get me out of the way right now and that you would speak your word to me and to everyone sitting here today, right now, and that these words would be yours and that you would be glorified with what is said from this pulpit today. Father, will you give the strength to me and give me the words and the thoughts to share that our hearts might be changed and we might become more like you and glorify your name all the more. And it's in this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This passage begins by saying, "For this very reason, make every effort." I need to start off by saying that this is a very hard passage for me to preach. Because, and honestly, I know this might sound a little cliche, but I mean it whenever I say that I feel like the last person in the world who should be talking about these verses. As I have studied this week, I mean, the Lord has beat me over the head with this really so hard. It's been really hard. I realize just how short I come of these verses and what He's called me to do. And how many of you would say that you're a lot like me whenever I say that I tend to be a very, very one-track-minded person? Can I get anyone who can say that that's true about them too? Okay? I am extremely one-track-minded. In other words, I am a terrible multitasker. Okay? I have huge trouble doing more than one thing at once and doing more than one thing well, okay? How many of you are good multitaskers? Let me see. Hands? Good multitaskers. I see a lot of women putting their hands up in the air. That's exactly what I thought. How many guys would say, yeah, I'm a really good multitasker. I can do really good doing more than one thing at a time. Guys, I see one wife saying, yeah, that's my husband, but he will not put his hand up in the air right now. Okay? Yeah. All right. Well, good for you guys. I need to be honest and say that I am so one-track minded, and it's really not a good thing whenever it comes to what God has called me to do and what God wants to see in my life. It's really not a good thing to be so one-track minded. I mean, my wife will tell you, and I don't know if she's in here or not right now, my wife will tell you that I am so not a good multitasker. All right? I'm glad she's not here. She'd be screaming right now. Oh, she is right here. Oh, wow. Okay. Sorry. But it happens a lot. Okay? It happens so much. I have a hard time walking and chewing gum at the same time. And some of you can relate to that too, but I mean, it's not unusual at all. Like she knows how bad I am at this, that like we can be driving somewhere and we're going someplace, maybe we're going out to eat somewhere, and she'll say, and well, all of a sudden she'll get real quiet when we start to get close to where we're going. And I'll look and I'll say something like, hey Megan, why are you quiet? Like this is so unlike you. Why are you? That wasn't the right thing to say. Why are you not talking to me anymore? And she'll say something like this. Well, I understand just how horrible you are at doing two things at once. You cannot drive and talk at the same time. If I start to talk to you, we're going to miss our turn. And I am really hungry right now, and I'd like for you to not do that. So that's me. I'm extremely one-track minded. And the Lord kind of beat me over the head with that whenever it comes to my spiritual life, whenever it comes to walking with Him and becoming the man that I need to be, or becoming the person that He wants me to be. I have lately become, and the Lord pointed this out to me, I didn't even know it. I didn't even realize it. But as I studied the passage this week, the Lord kind of used this to kind of recalculate me. And I've gotten so focused on stuff and just the busyness of life. And there's all kinds of things that I want to do and that I want to accomplish. And it's not necessarily bad things, but as I pursue things, I've realized that I so quickly put my character, or the person that Jesus wants me to become, I can so quickly go on the back burner. Now, I'm not saying that my character just like totally fell apart, but what I'm saying is I believe that it definitely went on the back burner. And he says, make every effort towards this, towards the person who I want you to be, and changing. I get caught up with all kinds of stuff. I get caught up with the busyness of life. There's so many things that I want to do. There's so many things that I want to accomplish. And you know, it's not all bad things. It means a lot to me, and I put a lot of time and effort into things here at our church, and wanting things to go well, and wanting things to go well in our church, whatever the responsibility might be. I put a lot of time and effort in chasing a dream that's not a bad dream, of continuing to have a wonderful youth ministry here in this church, the best youth ministry in the state of Pennsylvania. I'd like to be. I'd like to have it called. And I put a lot of time and effort into that. And it's not necessarily bad, but it creates a lot of busyness. How about my house? How many of you own a house? Nobody owns a house in here. Those of you that own a house know what I'm talking about. Isn't it just like one thing after the other? I mean, you don't have a maintenance man whenever you own your own house, right? You are the maintenance man. And it's just kind of one thing after the next. I mean, this needs fixed or that needs fixed, and you want to do this or that to it, and it creates a lot of busyness, okay? There's lots of stuff that I get caught up in. And it's not bad stuff, necessarily. But it's almost like this week, the Lord kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, as I've studied this passage, it was almost like he tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Aaron, you've really gotten caught up in the busyness of life with stuff that's not necessarily bad in and of itself, but it's caused you to forget about something," and it really has. "It's caused you to forget about something that I am very, very, very interested in. And it's not necessarily all the stuff that you want to do and all the accomplishments that you want to get to. What I am very, very, very interested in is you and changing you to make you look more and more and more like myself. That's what I am so interested in." And that sounds cliche, but it means a lot to me right now. Because as I studied this, I realized more and more that that has so gone on the back burner for me. And it's easy to make excuses, isn't it? It's easy to make excuses of, "Well, I'm not that bad. You know, I'm not the most terrible person in the world. I mean, look at some of you. You know, compared." Not really. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, well, I've come so far. You know, I'm not a horrible person. I mean, come on. But at the same time, what Jesus is going to talk to us about here in this passage is, I want you to work at something. I want you to not forget about something. I want you to make something a number one priority. That's it. And I realized as I looked at this, it wasn't a number one priority for me anymore. Although maybe I was fooling myself day by day thinking that it was. I want you to make this a number one priority of becoming the person that I want you to be. This is my dream for you, Jesus says. This is what I want for you. And that's what he spoke to me about. And I guess that's why I feel like I'm the last person in the world that should stand up here and talk about this. But will you go with me here? And let's look at these verses together. And the people that God wants us to be. And how he wants us to put every effort into that. How he wants us to work so hard at that. Point number one today, I want us to look at the reason we can be sanctified. Or the reason we can be changed to look like Jesus. The apostle starts off here by saying, for this very reason, make every effort. What reason is he talking about? Well, let's go back. Just look back with me a couple of verses ago. And let's start in verse number 3. Remember, let me remind you in case you've forgotten. Last time we were together, last time I got an opportunity to preach, we really looked at the bigness of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And whenever you read verses 3 and 4, you realize just how big and mighty and powerful and wonderful our God really is. I mean, He is amazing. He is. And He's done so much for us. He's done so much that we couldn't do on our own. And this is the reason that He wants us to pursue becoming like Christ. This is the reason why he wants us to make every effort in the sanctification process, okay? Look at me, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God's power has literally given to you and to me everything we need, first of all, for life or for eternal life, for salvation. He has literally done everything that we needed. And he has accomplished everything that needed to be accomplished for you and I to have eternal life. We are responsible for almost none of it, extremely, very, very little, and you can even make the argument that we are responsible for none of it. Jesus Christ came when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. He lived the perfect life that we needed him to live, that we could not live. Then he gave up his perfect life as the payment for the penalty of our sins, where he died in our place. Then he rose from the dead by his own power. He rose from the dead and provided to you and to me the way that we could have our sins forgiven. by his own power. In fact, the crazy thing is, John chapter 6, verse 44 says this, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. He truly does everything. You and I couldn't even go to him. We couldn't even come to him for salvation if he did not draw us to himself. He's responsible for all of it. He has completely done everything we needed to receive salvation. Have you received salvation today, first of all? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you struggled with that? Are you struggling with that? I just want to say this as we open up, that I wanted to talk about this right at first, because the next things that we're going to talk about are not really for you if you have never entered into the household of faith. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, these next things are really not going to be for you. He has done absolutely everything to give you salvation. Do you know him as your Savior? If you do not, or if you're struggling with that, just know this, that there is myself and there are others in here who know what that struggle is all about. And somebody would love to talk to you. And you can get that squared away today, and I hope you will. I really do. My heart goes out for you if you're sitting here like that. Jesus did everything that you needed and that I needed so that we could receive eternal life. Next is, God's divine power has granted to us all things that not only pertain to life, but also to godliness through the knowledge of him. This is someone, what we're going to talk about today is someone who really knows God and knows him beyond salvation. Knows him as Savior, but then knows him more deeply than that as they develop their relationship with him. That's what we're going to talk about today. Peter's going to talk to us about in verses 5 through 7. This is someone who really has given his life to knowing God. Do we know God? Do I know God deeply? Well, I'll tell you what, hopefully we can find that out. We can look at that a little bit in our lives today. But he has given us everything we need as it pertains to godliness. Or in other words, he's given me the power that I need. He's given me everything that I need in order to change after salvation. It's by his power that I become more and more and more like Christ. He does it in me. In fact, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, that in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13, he says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." In other words, whenever I get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells me, and now he gives me the ability, he gives me the power to become like Christ. So it's all God who does this in you and me. I wanted to be very, very clear about that on the outset. That as we change and become like Christ, as our hearts change, it's him that does the changing. And it's very important that we understand that. That I take credit for none of it. He gets all the glory for who I am in him. Okay? However, he gives us a responsibility. He does give us a responsibility here. And that's that. Look, in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, the Apostle Paul says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, that doesn't mean that we work for our salvation. That's not what he's saying there at all. We do not work for our salvation. Salvation is a gift given to us by God. What he's saying is what God has worked in, he has raised you from death unto life, unto spiritual life. With the work that he's already done in your heart, now he wants you and me to work hard at working out that change. Work it out. Change. Become more and more like him. So it's a two-way thing. Now God does it. God does it. It's God who works in me, to will and to do with his good pleasure. But he has given me a responsibility. Point number two this morning is, our responsibility in sanctification. He does give us a responsibility. This is not a let go and let God kind of a thing. It's not a true statement whenever people say that once you get saved, God's just you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about what God wants or how God wants you to live or anything like that. He's just going to do all that for you. He does. It is Him that works in you, absolutely. But He does give you a responsibility. And He will not bless you with a changed heart, a heart that looks more and more like Him in sanctification, if you do not do your part that He has given to you. This is something that I can't quite explain. It's something that I cannot quite wrap my mind around. It's something that it's all of God. It's all of God who does all the work in me to change me and make me more like Himself, yet He gives to me a responsibility. And basically the teaching is this, that if God is going to bless the sanctification in you, if He is going to sanctify you, He will do that when you and I do what He wants us to do. That's it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, the Bible says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." This is Paul speaking. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me." So what's he saying here? He's saying that it's God who worked in me, but I still had to work. It's God who changed me, absolutely, all the credit goes to Him, but I still had to work at it. Let me give you this illustration to do my best to try and illustrate this the best I can before we move on. And this illustration, I think, breaks down a little bit, but it's the best thing that I could come up with to try and explain this. Last Christmas, I bought my wife a treadmill. Okay, I'm feeling some judgment right now. Okay? I heard the snickers out there. Let me before you judge me, let me say this. She asked for it, okay? She asked that I get her this. And you can ask her. She's sitting in this room. I went back to her probably 3 or 4 times and said, "Is this really what you want? Because I want to get you what you want. Is this really what you want?" Well, about the 4th time, whenever she answered me, I could sense a little irritation in her voice. And those of you that have been married longer than me and as long as me know that when that irritation comes, you need to shut your mouth, just do what you're told to do, right? So, I bought her this treadmill. Now let's just pretend with me for a second, okay? I went and I bought this treadmill from this guy. Let's say that a month later, after I bought it, I took it back to him and said, "You need to take this back. This thing is not sufficient. It didn't do what my wife needed it to do." Not that she needs it to do anything, but I know I'm treading on thin ice here, okay? But it's not sufficient. I tell him that. This treadmill is not sufficient. It didn't do what she needed it to do, and it didn't burn any calories for it. He'd probably say something like this to me. "Well, did she get on it?" And would he be justified in saying that? Absolutely he would be. Because the treadmill has everything that she needs. It's got everything that she needs. It's got the extension cord with the electricity that comes into it that works just perfectly. It's got a motor that runs just perfectly in it. Whenever you turn it on, you can turn it up, turn it down, whatever you want to do with it. It's very, very sufficient. It goes and it goes and it goes. In fact, it also has one of them things up top. Hey, I love this. That counts your calories for you. And so it kind of gives you motivation. Like, "Oh man, look what I'm doing. This is awesome. Keep going." Okay? So, it has everything that is needed. It gives all the potential. It has all the power that is needed there, but you still have to get on it. You still have to get on it and work at it. And that's the teaching of the Bible here. That's the teaching, that yes, it's all God. God has supplied to you and to me everything that we need in His grace and power and mercy towards us. Everything we need for life and godliness. Given it to us. It's all Him. And He gets all the praise and the honor and the glory for the man that I have become. And for the man that I will keep becoming. As He changes me and makes me more like Himself. However, He says this, for this reason, in other words, because you have been given all of this, because God has done all of this for you, make every effort to supplement your faith. Think about it. Go after it. Because He's given you this power and all this potential, go for it. Because you can now. There was a time when you couldn't, but you can now. And the word effort here, I want to say this too, and this hit me over the head really, really hard. The word effort here is the Greek word spaude, which means eagerness and haste. In other words, this needs to be my number one priority. This needs to be what I think about during the day, amongst all the other busyness, amongst all the busyness of my life, and all the responsibilities that I have, and all the things that I want to do and accomplish. This needs to be what I'm thinking about and what I'm going after. We need to kind of have this is kind of like the attitude of my son. Y'all know Trent, right? Most of you do. Okay. Whenever he is going to get a cookie. All right, he gets excited. All right, he gets really, really eager, and he's got this thing that he does. He's like, whoo-hoo-hoo! All right, and then he runs. He makes haste, and he gets to the place where he knows he's going to get that. All right, that's why he runs to some of you, and that's why I can't get him to eat lunch during the day then. But that's what he does. And that's the kind of attitude, that's the kind of heart that God wants you and I to have. Whenever he says, give every effort, he means be eager about this. Be eager about it. Make haste for it. Get to it. Be excited about it. Okay? And then the word supplement here is the word epikoregeo. Let me try that again. Epikoregeo. And it means to give lavishly. That's what that word means. It means to give lavishly. In other words, do not just be satisfied with just the mediocrity of becoming like Christ. Don't fall into the trap that really I think I was in for quite a while, of just, you know, thinking, well, I've come a little ways. I'm okay. I look enough like Christ. I look more like Christ than some other people do. He says, no. That's not the attitude that I want you to have. I want you to give to supplement lavishly your life with these things. You have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You now belong to Him. You've been adopted into the family of Christ. And now I want you to pursue these things lavishly. In other words, give yourself these things. Give. Work at it. Go. Don't stop ever. And that's what I can do. Are you making every effort to supplement your faith? And we're going to talk about these few things here that he wants us to supplement our faith with after we place our faith in Jesus Christ. Let me ask us this, though. Is this a part of your life? Becoming like Christ. Is it a number one priority that you and I eagerly, with haste, run to it and give lavishly, go after these things lavishly, becoming like Christ. The characteristics of Jesus Christ. These character qualities in our lives that Jesus wants to grow in us and give to us. He's very, very interested in this, in your life and in my life. Number three, and this will be our last point today, the character qualities to go to work on. He's given us everything, and because he's given us everything, make every effort to supplement your faith with these character qualities so He will bless your life and change you. He will not do it without you. He will not do it without you and me, fulfilling what He has asked us to fulfill. Now, let's look at 2 Peter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. This word virtue comes from the Greek word arete. And it means to wholeheartedly pursue Christ-likeness. It carries the idea of to make a commitment of pursuing the excellence of becoming like Christ. Did you catch that? And this hit me right over the head. This carries the idea of that you and I have made a commitment that I am going to pursue the excellencies of Jesus Christ. I have committed myself to that. It's a decision that I consciously have to make. That I am going to commit myself to pursuing the excellencies of Jesus Christ. The people that are closest to you and the people that are closest to me, that know me and that know you the best, would they say that you are a virtuous person? Are you giving every effort to this? That as you go through your day-to-day life, as you make decisions, you think things like this to yourself, is that what Jesus would have said? Or is that how Jesus would have acted? Or how would Jesus handle this situation? And I've made the decision to, I've committed myself to pursuing the excellencies of Jesus by the power that God has put in me. If you find yourself in a position where you know some things that Jesus wants you to be, you know some character qualities that He wants you to have, and you find that they're not really a part of your life, you find that they're not really a part of your heart, could the possibility be maybe because you've never actually made the commitment to pursue this? You've never made the commitment to live a virtuous life, to pursue the excellencies of Jesus. Are you making every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, the excellence of becoming like Christ? Next one. 2 Peter 1, continuing in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. And the word for knowledge here is the Greek word gnosis. And it refers here to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but it also carries the idea of an experiential knowledge. A knowledge that infiltrates my heart and is lived out in my life because of my commitment of arete, of pursuing the excellence of Jesus Christ. As I pursue the excellence of Jesus Christ, I need to be gaining the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of who He is, of what His ways are, of what kind of person He wants me to be. He wants me to pursuing this knowledge of getting to know Him and getting to know how He wants me to be. You know something? I think this is one of the reasons that we see some people make decisions for Christ. We see some people make commitments for Christ, to live for Christ and to want to be like Christ. We see some people make commitments like that, but they're not followed through on because the knowledge of Jesus Christ is then never sought after that. This, of course, involves a diligent study and pursuit of the Word of God. How do I get the knowledge of Jesus Christ in His Word? How am I going to know who He is? Know what He's about? know what His ways are, and know how He wants me to be if I'm not pursuing that knowledge in His Word. How's your time with God? Do you spend time getting to know God in His Word? The Word that He has given to you and to me, filled with the knowledge of Himself. That whenever we get that knowledge, it infiltrates into our heart and comes out into our lives as we pursue the arete, the excellencies of Jesus Christ. Knowledge. Are you making every effort in adding to your faith knowledge? Next is self-control. Self-control. This one's hard. Bringing all aspects of my life under the constraining power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that one more time. Bringing all aspects of my life under the constraining power of the Holy Spirit. I walk in complete obedience to the Holy Spirit, saying yes to what the Holy Spirit says yes to, and saying no to what the Holy Spirit says no to. Self-control. Saying yes to what He says yes to, and saying no to what He says no to. Let me give you an example. There's lots of illustrations that you could say about this. Let me give you this one. Let's say that that my wife said something disrespectful to me. Now, she never does that. But let's say that she did do that. She's disrespectful, and my fleshly reaction wants to do what? Say it out loud. Say something back, right? Say something to kind of win the argument, right? Be disrespectful. Maybe be harsh. Be harsh a little bit. Okay? That's what I want to do. But because of the... Hey, look back up here at this word knowledge that we just talked about. But because of the knowledge that I've gotten, because I pursued God in His Word, I know what His Word says. I know what He wants me to do. I know Him, and He has communicated to me what He wants me to do. And He says, love your wife and do not be what with her? Harsh. And so I submit myself to Him and say yes to what He says yes to and say no to what He says no to. I say, yes, sir. I will not react like that. I'm under your control. I mean, how about something just very simple and practical whenever it comes to this self-control? How about sleep? I love sleep. Do you like sleep? My kids don't like sleep. It's unbelievable. They act like they ain't ever been to sleep before. There's always one awake. Like they're taking shifts. You know? And so when morning comes, like this morning, when I knew I needed to get up and spend time with God, what did I want to do? Sleep, right? Whenever I knew that God had given me a responsibility to get to be ready, to be prepared to get up here and preach the Word this morning. And so I allow the Holy Spirit to have control of that and to say yes to what He says yes to and say no to what He says no to. Even something as practical as sleep. Let me say this very quickly. We have sexual desires. They're God-given. Designed by God. They're natural. Does the Holy Spirit have control over those desires in my life? Where I say yes to what He says yes to, and where I say no to what He says no to. Self-control. And you can go on and on with that with many illustrations, but that's self-control. Are you giving every effort in your life to having self-control? Where every one of your wants, where your desires are under the constraining power of the Holy Spirit. See, let's give every effort to this. This is a character quality that Jesus wants you to have. This is how we look like Jesus as we pursue the excellencies of Jesus Christ, the arete. Next, go with me. Steadfastness comes from the Greek word hypomone, and it means to remain under. This is talking about the ability to remain under something. Something is pressing on you, something's putting a lot of pressure on you, and you're holding it up, and you remain there holding it up. Steadfastness. You don't quit holding it up. It's referring to the ability to endure hardship and distress. Oftentimes, most of the time, it's courageously defending a biblical principle when it's attacked by something, by somebody. That's what it's referring to. And let me just be clear about this. Remember, this is Jesus working in us, okay? We are to give every effort to these things, but He gets all the credit. Jesus is working this out in my life as I give every effort to it. So, this is not just gritting our teeth and holding on no matter what. It's the fact that I have made a commitment to live a virtuous life and pursue the excellencies of Jesus Christ. So I will do what is right no matter what. I will do the right thing. No matter what kind of external pressure is coming on me, I will do the right thing. This is steadfastness. So here's a great question for this. What does it take for me and what does it take for you to stop doing the right thing? What does it take for us to stop doing the right thing? The Lord has asked me to be kind to you. What does it take for me to stop being kind? Boys, you say?
Choice.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your children there. That could be very true too. Yes, thank you. It's a choice. It's a choice, absolutely. How is your steadfastness? How is my steadfastness? Do I fly to pieces and stop being kind the moment I get offended? The moment someone says something to me that they shouldn't have said? Do I get unkind right away and fly to pieces? I'm not steadfast. My steadfastness is not developed. Jesus hasn't developed that in me because I haven't given every effort. What does it take for us to stop being honest? What does it take for me to stop defending the biblical principle of honesty? What pressure needs to be put on me, and what pressure needs to be put on you to where you get to the point where you will stop doing the right thing and you'll stop being honest? Is it when you realize that a situation will go better or smoother for you if you don't tell the whole truth? Is that what it takes? Is that all the pressure that needs to be put? If that's true, then we're not steadfast. We haven't developed this character quality in ourselves of steadfastness. A character quality that Jesus is so interested that we have. Is Jesus steadfast with us? Does He always do the right thing by us? This is who He is. And He wants us to be like Him. Are we giving every effort? Are you giving every effort in this character quality of steadfastness as you pursue the excellencies of Jesus Christ, arete? Godliness. Let me quickly move through these last couple as we're almost out of time. Godliness comes from the Greek word eusebia and carries the idea of having a very practical awareness of the presence of God. This is like a worship of God. Carries the idea of having a very practical knowledge of the presence of God. In other words, you realize all of the time that He is present. He's present. He's here. And who is here? And that's another thing that we realize with this godliness. Not only do you realize he's here, you realize who is here. You realize that it's the creator of all things. That it's the all-powerful one. You realize it's the all-knowing one. You realize it's the all-loving one. He's here. And he's always present. And you have this awe and respect of the God who is present here with you at all times. And that awe and respect translates into application of you being the kind of person he wants you to be and doing what he wants you to do. This is godliness. You realize who is here with you. And because you realize who is here with you, that translates into everyday life of doing what he wants you to do and being who he wants you to be. I want to spend just a moment on these last couple, and we'll be all done. Look with me at brotherly affection. Brotherly affection, another character quality that Jesus wants us to pursue, to make every effort towards. Brotherly affection. It comes from the Greek word Philadelphia. We've all heard that. The city of what? Brotherly love. Philadelphia comes from two words, phileo, meaning affection, and adelphos, meaning brother. To have affection for a brother. Brotherly affection. To have affection for a brother. Who are your brothers and sisters? Say it aloud. Christians. People who are of the household of faith. It's very interesting that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, takes a moment here to talk about a character quality that he wants us to give every effort towards as God changes our hearts and makes us more like him. How he wants us to have the heart attitude he wants us to have towards other Christians, other people of the household of faith. The word phileo carries the idea of caring about someone. Your approval of that person. Your desire to have a friendship with someone. Basically, it's the idea, this is kind of the idea that I thought of as I was studying this. It's this hard attitude of, I like you. I like you. Do you like me? I like you. And you know, as I look at you the way God wants me to look at you, whenever I look at you, whenever I look at Mike Osborne and I say, that is my brother. That's my brother in Christ. That's who he is. He's part of my family. And that my heart warms towards that. My heart warms towards that. Why? Because you're family. We've both been adopted into the family of God. You're my brother in Christ. And you can say that about all Christians. We're family. And God wants us to have this friendship with one another, this brotherly affection or this brotherly kindness, some of your translations say. Brotherly kindness. Now, as that's what it is. Let me talk about, just for a moment, I want to talk about the pink elephant that's kind of in the room whenever it comes to this. It's something that everybody just tries to avoid all the time. No one really wants to talk about, but it's very, very, very much there. Okay? Are you and I surrounded by family members who are different? In fact, do this for me. Everybody turn to the person sitting next to you and say, you're different. You've been waiting a long time to say that. Yes, you're different. And the other side of that coin is you haven't exactly arrived either, because we're never done becoming more like Christ. So none of us have arrived. Therefore, you also are different to some people, right? I mean, how many of you sometimes your literal physical family can drive you insane? I mean, is that true? This is the elephant that's kind of in the room, right? Okay? Yeah, my brothers, I got three of them. Sometimes the stuff they do, the stuff they say, drives me absolutely insane. I'm like, what, why? Why would you do that? Why would you say that? Why would you do something like that? And I haven't exactly arrived either. And so I'm told, I don't know what these things are, but I'm told that sometimes I drive them insane. Now, I don't know with what. I mean, it's me for crying out loud. But yes. And so we're surrounded by people who are different than us. But here's the bottom line. And here's what God wants us to have. It's that family affection, though, that He wants us to have towards one another. That phileo, that no matter who somebody is, and no matter what anybody does, or no matter what their personality is, it doesn't matter, okay? My heart needs to be towards people that are of the household of faith, of this brotherly kindness, this brotherly affection. I like you. And if there is something in between us, that I want to get that taken care of, because I want to come back in that fellowship with you. That friend fellowship with you that we can share together. This is what God wants us to have. Are you making every effort to pursue this? In the family of God, can you think of one person right now before we move on? Can you think of one person that's of the household of faith that you do not like? Please do something about that. We need to do something about that. Because this is the heart, the changed heart that the Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, I want you to make every effort to supplement. In other words, to give this lavishly to your faith. That we're kind, and that we love each other in the household of faith. Lastly, he ends with the Cadillac. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. We've all heard this before. Love. Lastly, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And this includes everyone. Giving of yourself sacrificially in the best interest of another person. Not expecting anything in return. God is this. And He proved it when He died for you and me. Giving of ourselves sacrificially in the best interest of someone else, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. Not expecting anything in return. This is the heart that God wants us to have. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 41 says this, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Are you giving every effort to changing and becoming a person with a heart of love that comes out in your life? Would it be said of you by the people who are closest to you and who know you very well, you're a loving person. You give sacrificially of yourself in our best interest when we don't deserve it, and you never get anything back. Is that how people that are closest to you see you? Is that how God sees you more than anything? Is that how God sees me? Are we giving every effort? He's given us everything we need. Everything we need that pertains to life and then to godliness. And He says, because you've been given so much, now you make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. This is the person who knows God deeply. Because there's been a whole lot of interaction going on as God has changed them and made them into the person that He desires for them to be, and that He desires for you to be and for me to be. May God help us change and become like Him. Let's pray together. I'll ask the instrument, please, to come forward. Right before we pray, I just want to ask one or two questions, and we'll be done. I know we've gone a little bit long today, but I don't want to end without giving you a chance to respond if you'd like to. Was this for you today? First of all, do you have this faith that we've been talking about? Saving faith. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or do you not know that? Or has there never been a time when you've accepted Him as Savior and allowed Him to forgive you of your sins and adopt you into His family? If that's you, I'm going to pray in a minute. But if that's you, I just want to ask, will you respond? And I don't usually do this, but will you come forward? Everybody's heads are bowed. No one's looking around. Will you come? Say, I want that. I want that gift that He will freely give to me. And maybe, and let me say, let me also say this very, very quickly. Those of you that are Christians, that are saved, that are adopted into the family of God, have you been giving every effort to these character qualities? He's given you and me everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Are you making every effort? Or are there some things, a thing or two or three, who knows, that have been put on the back burner and you need to say, I need to change? I'd be glad to pray with you. If you'd like to come forward as well, I'd be glad to pray with you. Will you come now? If the Lord's speaking to your heart, will you come? Strength. Father, you've provided everything she needs that pertains to godliness. Will you help her and me, for that matter, to pursue you and to give every effort to what you want us to do?